Taviano and Rico strode out from around the corner of the alley, both wearing the signature pinstripe suit all the Ferraros seemed to wear. "Sasha, you met Taviano, and this is my brother, Rico," Giovanni said. "I was just heading upstairs to see what's going on in her apartment. Taviano is going to stay with you. Rico will go with me. He's tough. He can defend me if someone jumps out at me." He bent his head to hers to brush a kiss along her temple. Deliberately, he took her hand and placed it in Taviano's. "Don't let her out of your sight. I'm putting her in your care." There was something about the formality of the way Giovanni worded it that had her gaze jumping to his face. He was looking at his brother. Something she missed passed between them, and Taviano nodded. Giovanni caught her chin in hard fingers. "This time, honey, you stay right here. I can't be dividing my attention, looking out for you and sweeping your apartment." There was steel in his voice. Sasha was independent, a woman who went her own way and made her own decisions, but she wasn't about to defy that voice. More, she wasn't going to put him in danger through her own recklessness. Giovanni took the lead going up the stairs. "Someone's watching from the roof. Text Stefano and let him know. I caught the glint of binoculars. The idiot isn't that good at hiding himself. He's watching us. I'm betting it's the same man who was in her apartment." He kept moving up the stairs. His brother was fast on his phone, even faster than Giovanni, and he could text as he hurried up to the door. Giovanni bent to examine the lock without touching anything. "There are scratch marks here. He used a pick. I'm going to have to get her a better lock, Rico, and deadbolts inside if she's going to stay here." Pulling on gloves, he opened the door and stepped inside. Her apartment smelled like her. Fresh cinnamon, candy-covered apples. He loved the way she smelled, and entering her home, knowing it held the same scent he was beginning to be obsessed with, gave him a rush of pleasure, in spite of the circumstances. He signaled to his brother to stand to one side of the closed door. He opened it carefully. Her bathroom was small and very neat. There was no way for anyone to hide in the open space. Her shower curtain was transparent, so even that wouldn't have been a hiding place for an intruder. He looked around, taking in everything she had on the marble sink. Makeup, although she used it sparingly, he knew. A jar of colored bath salts, an electric toothbrush and water flosser. The woman took care of her teeth, and it showed. They were straight and white. She had a dazzling smile. A lipstick lay next to a bottle of perfume. Strange. The perfume was in a beautiful bottle, but it wasn't that cinnamon candy-covered apple he knew was her signature scent. It was a high-end brand he recognized, but the floral scent wouldn't suit Sasha. He couldn't imagine her wearing it. Her towels were jet black, which surprised him. He expected her to have chosen more of a pastel color. The two towels were hung with obsessive neatness, which was too bad. He liked neat, but he wasn't always careful about where he flung his clothes, so the fact that her towels were hung exactly symmetrically was probably a bad thing. Again, he was careful not to touch anything. He wanted Sasha to tell him if anything had been moved or taken. The bedroom was next, and he opened that door cautiously, keeping out of the line of fire just in case the intruder was still inside and had a gun. The bed was in his line of sight, the comforter a pale mauve. There were girly pillows on it, up near the head of the bed. In the exact center was a large heart made of roses, the same type of roses that were now on the ground outside in the alley. Inside the heart, laid out precisely in the center, were a sheer thong panty and bra. They were fire engine red and nothing more than cord and lace. Beautiful, sexy, and perfect for his woman. He couldn't imagine that she had placed them there, but he was certain the lingerie already belonged to her. He looked at his brother. What the fuck is that? One look around the small room told him an intruder wasn't hiding there, not even in the closet. The double doors to the long walk-in were open, revealing a meager amount of clothing. Mostly jeans hung neatly alongside two dresses and several tops. There's a note. Rico removed it from where it lay between the lace bra and panties. Wear these for me tomorrow." The words were typed out on a single sheet of paper. Giovanni cursed under his breath. This isn't good. Someone's fixated on her. "I'm not surprised," Rico said. "She's beautiful and extraordinary. That smile of hers could stop a war. She has that face, gee, the kind a man would spend a lifetime wanting to just stare at. I'm not even going to talk about her body, because I'm not looking at her that way. I see her and know she belongs to you and the family. Someone to protect. But other men, they're going to see her and want her. She's got something intangible, a magic about her. And you're going to have your hands full keeping the competition away. Think about that, because it's going to be for the rest of your life." Giovanni knew every word Rico said about Sasha was the truth. He'd felt the pull of her magic, that mixture of innocence and temptress, her smile, the one that his brother had referred to. He also knew that the assessment coming from Rico, who loved his wife above all else, was true and stated as a fact rather than interest, maybe even a warning. "Let's get her and find out if anything is missing," Giovanni said. He didn't like her out in the alley where she was exposed. He should have known his brother would take care of things. Taviano had Sasha inside the deli. They stood just inside the back door, Taviano's body blocking the entrance. He glanced up at the roof. Stefano stood there, lifted a hand and shook his head to indicate there was no one there. Emme and Vittorio paced along the alley, one on the left side and one on the right. They moved slowly, looking for any evidence of a person setting up traps or cameras, or just leaving evidence behind. Giovanni went straight to Sasha and wrapped an arm around her. "He's gone, but he left you a note. I need you to go through the apartment and tell me if anything is missing, or if he's disturbed anything. You'll have to hurry. The police tend to show up fast if we're involved." "Why?" She looked up at him as they walked toward the stairway. Giovanni wanted to step on the roses and crush them as he passed, but he was careful to step over them just in case the police needed them for evidence. "They have the misguided belief that we're criminals. Mafia. They've investigated us numerous times, but they always come up empty-handed." He put his hand on her back as they went up the stairs. Rico was waiting at the top, and he stepped aside to allow her entry into her apartment. She hesitated, just for a second, just long enough that Giovanni noticed, and then she stepped inside and went straight over to the little table that held the photographs of her family. "There's something beyond terrifying to know someone's invaded your personal private space," she said. Her voice was pitched low, but he caught the slight wobble and wanted to smash something, or someone. She was being brave, but she was shaken. He watched as she looked all around and under the table where the photographs were. "He took my brother's keychain. He moved the photographs and the things I have here. Why would he take Sandlin's keychain? It isn't worth anything to him, or anyone but me." "What did it look like?" Giovanni followed her as she circled around the living space and kitchen. "It was just a keychain with a picture of me in it. He took it when I was barrel racing and had won a championship." She suddenly broke off and ran across the room to the armchair. A book lay upside down on the cushion. Next to the chair was a small round side table. Two wine glasses sat out with a bottle of red wine. There was wine residue in each glass. On the side of one of the glasses was a small smear of pink lipstick. "This isn't mine. I mean, the glasses are, but not the wine, and I didn't drink anything with anyone. My book was sitting here on the table when I left. The book on the chair isn't the one I was reading. I don't know where mine is, but that's not it. He staged this. He had to have, and I'm certain that's my lipstick." Giovanni picked up the book, turning it over to the open pages. Text was highlighted, and he skimmed it, his stomach tying in knots as he did. "It's an erotica book. This has a very graphic passage between two lovers highlighted." Sasha pressed her fingers to her temples, as if that might stop a headache. "What's he trying to say?" "I think he's fantasizing that you're in a relationship with him," Giovanni said. She turned her head to look at the bathroom door. He was in there, too, wasn't he? You tell me. Giovanni was certain he had been. She took a deep breath and started to touch the door handle. He caught her shoulder to pull her back and opened the door with his gloved hand. Just in case, honey. We don't want to mess up any fingerprints. She nodded and stepped inside, her gaze instantly drawn to the towels and then the little cabinet where her things sat. He was definitely in here. Those towels aren't mine, and I'm not that neat. I couldn't get them on the rack like that. She pushed back the shower curtain, made a face, and stumbled back. He was in here, too. I think he took a shower. There were a few drops on the shower curtain, but the floor of the stall was damp. He used my soap and shampoo. I'm never touching those things again. What's wrong with him? Giovanni stepped up and caught her around the waist, pulling her back to him, wrapping his arms around her. The cops will get him. What about anything else? Look carefully, Sasha. She studied the cabinet and then indicated the lipstick. He used that on the wine glass rim. I keep it in the drawer along with the other makeup. He put that there. The perfume bottle I've never seen before, nor do I use that particular scent. He had to have brought it. She pressed back into him and turned her head to look up at him. You don't think he used my toothbrush, do you? Giovanni shrugged, trying for casual, but he was buying her a new toothbrush. The idea of her putting her mouth anywhere near where the intruder had put it sickened him. Cops are here, G, Stefano announced. Instead of two uniformed officers, two men in suits came through the door. Giovanni introduced Sasha to the two detectives, who he was very familiar with, and then indicated the scratch marks, pointed out the bouquet on the ground and where she'd found it. He circled Sasha's shoulders with his arm and pulled her under his shoulder, keeping it there, letting the detectives know she was not only with him, but under his protection. His hovering family told them the rest. Stupid mistake on his part, messing with your family, the one who had been introduced as Detective Jason Bradshaw said. His tone held all kinds of innuendo. Giovanni didn't rise to the bait. He let them question Sasha, realizing almost immediately that they were falling under her spell. Even now, with everything going on, she managed a smile that made them look at her in a way that had him wanting to tear their heads off. The detectives were thorough. He had to hand them that. Stefano always said the department's detectives weren't always the politest, but they definitely knew their jobs and didn't jump to conclusions. They worked their cases and had a high arrest rate. He respected them, and Giovanni could see why. The two men might not like the Ferraros, or, at the very least, suspected them of being a crime family, but they put aside any prejudices and photographed and documented everything. Their questions were polite but probing, leading Sasha to find a few other items that had been touched, moved, or had disappeared. Her hairbrush was missing. Her mother's silver hand mirror. The book she had been reading was nowhere in the house. The other two wine glasses that made up her set were gone. She was trembling visibly by the time they entered the bedroom. It was the first time Sasha had been inside it, and she made a small sound that tore at his heart before turning her face against his ribs. "I take it you didn't leave your bed that way," Bradshaw stated.
"No."
She cleared her throat and forced herself to look at them, but she gripped Giovanni's suit vest so hard her fingers curled into his skin. "But the clothes are mine." She glanced at the dresser just under her window. "That drawer was closed when I left." The other detective, Art Maverick, walked over and peered inside. He turned his head, his eyes meeting Giovanni's and then his partner's. "What is it?" Sasha asked. Giovanni was afraid he already knew. "Baby, go with Rico. Wait for me outside. I'll just be a few more minutes. You're finished with her, right? She gave her statement." Maverick nodded. "That's right, ma'am. You can wait outside. I need to talk to Giovanni." "I should stay," Sasha protested, but they all heard the reluctance in her voice. Giovanni brushed a kiss on top of her head and gave her a little push toward Rico. His brother reached out and gently took her by the shoulders. "Emma's waiting to meet you. She didn't want to come in and accidentally touch evidence. So she's been not so patiently waiting for the police to be finished with you." "One more thing, Miss Provis," Bradshaw said. "Have you ever had a stalker? Do you have any idea who could be doing this?" She shook her head. "Nothing like this has ever happened to me. Never." Giovanni watched them go. Sasha looked back at him several times, clearly feeling guilty about leaving him to deal with the detectives on her behalf. "Has she talked to you about anyone she was concerned with?" "No. She's relatively new to the city. Her brother suffered a traumatic brain injury, and she had him moved here from Wyoming. The Hendricks Center is one of the top in the world for rehabilitation and care of that magnitude." Giovanni volunteered what he knew as he took the necessary steps to cross the room to peer into Sasha's private underwear drawer. There was a stack of lacy stretch boy shorts as well as lace bras. The intruder had ejaculated all over her panties and bras. Giovanni was aware that he possessed a very volatile temper. It often boiled up out of nowhere, so he was used to the feeling erupting. This was different. This was a rage he wasn't certain he could contain. He turned away from the two detectives, afraid the need to snap the neck of the perpetrator showed on his face. "He planted cameras," Taviano stated, pulling all interest away from Giovanni, "in the bathroom, bedroom, and living area. Stefano found several video cameras on the roof across the street." "This is one sick bastard," Maverick snapped. "Where do these guys come from?" "There were a few incidents at the club involving her a couple of nights ago," Giovanni said, staring out the window. The entire apartment was suddenly too small. He could barely breathe with the need to exact justice for Sasha. "I think she would have admitted if she had a long-time stalker or if she thought she knew who it was. I can have West, our manager, give you the incident reports involving Sasha last night. He can provide the footage from our cameras as well. Darby was there and used her to try to create sensationalism for a show. We stopped him and took the film. Several cameramen weren't happy when we took film from them, but they had signed an agreement with us before they were allowed in. Given all the cameras set up in her apartment and outside, I want the names of those photographers," Bradshaw said. "The setup looks professional." Giovanni nodded. "We'll get you whatever you need." "She's the kind of a girl who's going to attract attention," Maverick stated. "It could be some asshole she passed on her way to work and she smiled at him. Someone in the deli or club, since she works both places and has to smile to be polite. Now he thinks they're in some kind of sick relationship." He looked around the apartment. "She's in real danger, Ferraro. You don't go to all this trouble without being truly fixated." Giovanni nodded. "We'll watch out for her," he assured. "You find this bastard. You know as well as I do, these creeps are difficult to find. He left DNA, so if he's somewhere in the system, we can get him for breaking and entering and stalking. Why would he exchange towels and get out her wine glasses? Have you seen that before?" Giovanni asked. Maverick shook his head. "It's all part of his fantasy relationship with her, having a sexual encounter, sharing wine, showering. The roses he left for her. His towels hung in her bathroom. Some of her things brought back to his place." Giovanni swore under his breath in Italian as he lifted his gaze to Taviano's. They had to find this man and eliminate him. If Maverick and Bradshaw were concerned, then Sasha was in even more danger than she knew. "If you're finished with her, I'm going to take her out, get her a few things to wear and a new toothbrush before we go to see her brother. Just to warn you, Ferraro, if he's as dangerous as I think he is, he'll be angry with her for having anything to do with you, and he'll perceive you as a threat to his relationship. He'll definitely go after you." Giovanni gave the detective his shark smile. "I want him to come after me. If he fixates on me as his enemy, he won't have time to harass her. I can take care of myself," he assured. "Just find him." Maverick nodded. "Then we're finished with her. We'll need to be here a little longer. I want to take these cameras for evidence as well as sweep for more." Giovanni started out the door. Ferraro! He turned back. Is it possible someone is striking at you through her? She isn't a part of our world. He wanted her to be. He intended to make her a part of it, but she wasn't yet. She works for us at the club, but no member of my family hired her. We don't do that. She was in trouble the other night because a few customers got out of hand, so I stepped in. But that's something all of us do when there's trouble. My table just happened to be closer than security. I did take her to dinner after, and my brothers and cousins joined us. In his gut, he was certain whoever had fixated on Sasha had done so without counting him in the equation. Maverick nodded, as if he had been just as certain but had to ask. Giovanni joined his family inside the deli. Francesca, Emanuele, Marico, and Sasha sat at a table together with his brothers surrounding them. As usual, Francesca had everything under control. Sasha was even laughing. She looked young and happy with the other women, and that made him feel better. He'd had a bad taste in his mouth, and just looking at her took it away. He liked seeing her looking as if she didn't have a care in the world. That was her gift, he decided. She had a crazy stalker, and her sanctuary had been violated. Her beloved brother didn't remember her, but she could put that aside and still find a way to be happy. She had courage and strength. She looked up, her gaze meeting his, and smiled directly at him, for him alone. His heart stuttered in his chest. He couldn't help but smile back, the dark, ominous feeling lifting just a little. Already, his family was rallying around her, doing exactly what they did, helping out. He could always count on them. He wanted her to understand that she could as well. Stefano caught his eye, and he drifted across the room to his oldest brother. I've put guards on her, even when she's with you, G. So if you spot them, you know who they are. Demetrio and Drago will be out of sight. Emilio and Enzo are on the two of you. Giovanni wasn't about to protest, as he normally would have, if his brother sent the top bodyguards to protect him. He would do anything, even having his brother's guards, in order to keep Sasha safe. Thanks, Stefano. Are you covered? Of course. Did you think Emilio would let me have 5 minutes without someone breathing down my neck? I do have that little job to do. I'm not letting Darby get away with his crap. He was warned. Vittorio and I are going to pay him a visit, so that means you, Taviano, and Rico have to be visible. We'll be at the club, celebrating you finding Sasha. I've got all the details worked out. Cousins are coming to help celebrate. We'll have video of Francesca and me there, making out like we do. Darby will call the cops and look like a fool. Just make certain you're seen at the club. Sasha is working tomorrow night, so it will work out nicely. If she's at the club, then I'm at the club. Everyone can show up. I'll alert club security, and we'll need Enrica at the club, so if Sasha or any one of the women goes into the ladies' room, they'll still be guarded. I'll make certain Emilio knows to assign her the days Sasha is working. Giovanni once more turned to look at Sasha. She appeared as if she belonged with the other women. She had the same sweet innocence about her that all of them did. Emanuele glanced up at him and gave him a thumbs up, her opinion of his choice. He put his hand over his heart and nodded. Sasha caught that gesture. He didn't mind. He was determined to be as honest with her as possible. I hate to break up the party, ladies, but Sasha is going to need a few things for tonight and tomorrow. Lucia and Amo are waiting in their store. They said to use the back entrance as they're closed. Nicoletta will let you in, Francesca said. Nicoletta, the problem child. He glanced at Stefano. Stefano sighed and nodded. She'll be joining us for self-defense training 5 days a week. Marico has struck up a friendship with her, and she'll be her first instructor. That's a heavy schedule, Giovanni objected. She works 2 jobs and has to keep up with her schoolwork. I spoke with Agnese Moretti, and she's caught up on her work and then some. There will be no problem with graduation, Stefano assured. Otherwise, I would have been sitting down with her until it was done. Giovanni nodded his head and held out his hand to Sasha. Let's get a move on so you can see your brother tonight. I know you don't have much time off.
I can't do that.
There was regret in her voice, but she took his hand. I can't possibly sleep in that apartment, so I need to find a place to stay, and I need clothes and things like a hairbrush, hair products and a toothbrush. He closed his fingers around hers and tugged until she was under his shoulder. We're taking care of the clothes now, and I'm certain Emanuele won't mind shopping for you so we can see your brother. Lucia and Amo have chosen a few things for you, so if you like them, we can get them immediately without taking much time.
We'll help,
Francesca added. We can get you the things you need while you go visit with your brother. No problem.
I can't ask you to do that,
Sasha objected.
Sandlin doesn't remember me at all. I go visit him, and he's always sweet, but he has no idea I'm actually related. He doesn't have a clue who I am. If I skip tonight, I don't think he'll care.
But you'll care, Giovanni said. She was trembling, and her voice shook just the merest thread. But he heard it because he was so attuned to her. Let them help you, honey. They're right here, and they can take the things to my house and have them waiting for you. He nodded to the women of his family as he turned a protesting Sasha toward the door. You can argue with me about staying with me after you get clothes from Lucia and we're in the car. Just hold your arguments. We'll miss visiting hours if we don't get a move on. He shepherded her right out the back door so they could go down the alley to the back entrance to Lucia's treasures. The police were still working on Sasha's apartment, and he picked up the pace, not wanting her to think too much about a man invading her space and using her things. I'll have a cleaning service take care of your place. They'll sterilize everything. John Balboni owns the local hardware shop, and he'll install several deadbolts and better locks on the doors, including your bedroom door.
Giovanni, you can't do that for me.
We owned the building, and it wasn't safe, he argued. Right here. He indicated the three stairs leading to the back entrance to the little boutique. Nicoletta waited in the doorway. Her gaze shifted from him to Sasha, and she kept her attention centered on her. Her smile was professional.
Hi, Sasha. I'm Nicoletta. I'm so sorry for what happened to you. Francesca called, and Lucia has pulled some clothes and lingerie she thought you'd be interested in. Giovanni told us your size.
Giovanni narrowed his gaze at the teenager. She was 18 now, and looked more of a woman than the scared girl she'd been when she'd been rescued. He was certain she'd tacked the last on just to see him get in trouble, and of course Sasha rose to the bait.
My size?
Your size was on the two garments on the bed, he pointed out, although the truth was, just looking at her, he knew her size.
That makes sense,
she said, mollified. She flashed a smile at Nicoletta. It's nice to meet you. Francesca was just telling me how proud of you she is. Nicoletta's smile was instantly genuine. She could be the nicest person on the planet, unless it's Marico or Emanuele. Well, after Lucia, of course.
They were telling me about Lucia. I've seen the Faustis in the deli, but haven't really met them. Pietro talks about them all the time. He loves them. When they come in, I'm always busy, so I haven't had the chance to get to know them. Emanuele, in particular, is fond of Lucia.
Everyone is, Nicoletta assured, as they moved through the back room.
I already love her, and that's saying a lot.
The fragrance in the store was subtle, but with it came a sense of peace. That was also Lucia. Nicoletta stepped back to allow them into the shop.
Sasha, this is Lucia and Amo, my foster parents. This is Sasha. She's with Giovanni.
There was a small silence, and then both Lucia and Amo broke into huge smiles. Both went straight to Sasha and kissed her on both cheeks.
It is wonderful to meet you, Sasha,
Lucia said. Even under these circumstances, we've waited a long time for Giovanni to find the right woman. Sasha frowned and started to shake her head.
Before she could speak, Amo took both her hands and beamed at her. At last, we've prayed for you to come along. Giovanni needs his woman. We pray, and here you are. Please, look at what my Lucia and Nicoletta have chosen for you. But feel free to look around. Anything is yours if you want it. Thank you. Clearly, she didn't know what to say or do, because she moved back into Giovanni as if for protection. Going up on her toes, she whispered for him alone. I can't possibly afford anything in here, nor do I want them to give me clothing for free. I've already taken care of it, Giovanni assured. Before you throw something at my head, just accept it, and we'll battle it out in the car. We can't stay longer than 10 minutes. The Hendricks Center is across town, and it takes a little while to get there, even driving fast. She gave him a dark scowl, which only made his cock ache. God, she was adorable. Everything about her appealed to him, even her fiercely independent nature. He was in for a fight with her, and he was looking forward to it. He grinned at her just to provoke her further. Sasha turned away to look at the soft jeans Lucia had set aside. There were 3 pairs and several tees and tanks. Just going by the look on her face, Sasha loved them. She touched the exquisite underwear, a higher-end stretch lace panty, and beautiful bras he couldn't wait to take off her. We'll take them all, he said to forestall any arguments. She'll need a sweater and something for bed. No, Giovanni. Sasha was firm on that. I can't possibly afford these, and you know it. She turned her head to look longingly at the jeans and tees. Maybe 1 pair, just because, and the underwear. All of it, Giovanni said firmly. Lucia, why don't you argue with Sasha while Nicoletta wraps everything up for us, and Amo and I will take care of things? Absolutely not, Sasha objected, trailing after him. He didn't even turn around. He heard Nicoletta whispering, They're all like that. Trust me, if you're considered family, and he wouldn't bring you here, or with the others if he didn't, they'll just take over your life. There was no bitterness in her voice that Giovanni could detect, but there was something he couldn't put his finger on. He turned to look at her. She was looking away from him, down at the clothing she was carefully wrapping in tissue paper. There was a look on her face that made him want to go to her and comfort her. He couldn't stop himself, even though he knew she would probably reject him the way she did all of them. He strode right past Sasha and tipped Nicoletta's chin. Are you all right, Sorrelina? Tell me, and I'll take care of it. For a moment, it looked as if Nicoletta blinked back tears, and his heart sank. She shook her head. I'm good. Just working a lot lately. Will training with us be too hard on you? He kept his voice low, gentle. He wasn't certain how to handle her when she'd been stripped of everything. She'd lost her family, was in a nightmare world for far too long before they'd managed to rescue her, and was uncomfortable with them because they knew far too much about her. Her body screamed at him not to touch her, so he let go of her chin. I want to learn to defend myself, she whispered back. Don't take that away from me. We want you to learn, Nicoletta. If you're worried about something, you can talk to me, or to Francesca. You do know that, right? She nodded and kept wrapping the clothes. He turned away from her, feeling as if he'd failed her. Surprisingly, Sasha didn't say another word. She retreated to the other side of the boutique with Lucia and left him up front with Amo. Chapter 6 She breaks my heart, Sasha said. When Giovanni looked over at her, she clarified. Nicoletta, she's so young, but she isn't. She's as grown up as I am, maybe more, and she shouldn't be. He was driving the Aston Martin again, her very favorite. Well, at least she thought it would always be her favorite, even though she'd seen a dozen different cars his family drove, and some of them looked extremely luxurious. He handled the car the way he did everything. He was absolutely confident and looked casual while he was doing it. She's at a difficult time, like you, She lost her parents too young. She was put in a bad situation, and Stefano was able to get the authorities to allow her to live with Lucia and Amo. But there are a lot of very cruel things that happened prior to her coming here. She's finding her way, and we're all looking out for her. The alcohol? Lucia was worried. Like I told you, we were pulling her out of parties all the time. Apparently, after the talk Taviano had with her, Lucia says she's been subdued, hasn't gone out with those friends again, and has really worked hard on her schoolwork. It's only been a couple of days, so we'll see. How can she work two jobs and still go to school? She has tutors. She doesn't go to regular high school. Where did she meet these friends of hers? She works at the flower shop with Bruno Vitale. He's been a thorn in our side for a long while. He just turned 25, and those are his friends, none of them from this neighborhood, and she's been hanging out with them quite a bit. It's been worrisome to everyone. Sasha nodded. I can see why. She needs friends, though, Giovanni. She knew she was talking about herself as well. Maybe she could befriend the girl, although Nicoletta didn't seem too interested in her. We were tutored, he said. She hadn't meant to put him on the defensive. You have a very large family. There was no way you were going to get lonely. I understand loneliness a little better than you. Don't kid yourself, Sasha. Every one of my brothers, as well as my sister, experiences loneliness. Stefano has Francesca, and Rico has Mariko. So I'm betting they don't, but when you search the world and you believe you're never going to find the right partner, you're lonely. It doesn't matter how big your family is or how much money you have. She heard the sincerity in his voice, and her heart clenched. I suppose you're right. I'll see if I can befriend her. It would be nice for both of us. What did you mean by training? Giovanni shrugged, drawing her attention to how wide his shoulders were. As the car moved through the streets and the lights shone across them, throwing various shades of dark and light, he appeared to disappear as if the very shadows flowed through him. We work out together. Martial arts, weapons training, that sort of thing. And we want Nicoletta to learn. We thought it would give her more confidence. He flashed her a quick look. You might be interested in something like that. Not that you need more confidence. I would be interested if I wasn't already working 16 hours a day. I visit Sandlin every spare minute I get. Which reminds me, we need to get to the argument where I tell you I'm going to pay you back for everything and I'm not staying at your home. He was silent for so long she thought he wasn't going to respond. She caught him glancing in the rearview mirror several times. He texted with one hand, and then he turned off the main street she knew led to the Hendrick Center. Before she could ask him what he was doing, he sent her a small grin that sent her stomach into a slow roll. Start arguing away, but the end result will be that you're coming home with me. My house is so damn big, we won't be able to find each other. And in any case, I plan to act the perfect gentleman. She wanted to laugh at the pious tone. Really? You're not going to try to kiss me? She touched her lips because just saying it, just thinking about it, put the taste of him in her mouth. He turned down a narrow street and then again onto another one. He suddenly reversed and backed up right into the open door of a garage and killed the lights. He turned toward her, sliding his arm along the back of her seat. Gentlemen kiss, Sasha. What are we doing here? Her heart was beating too fast, but she wasn't certain if it was in anticipation or out of fear. Something was wrong, and he wasn't telling her. Some gentlemen are very good at kissing, but clearly you need to see for yourself. We can't just park and have a make-out session in a perfect stranger's garage, she pointed out, trying not to laugh. Are you crazy? His fingers crept from the back of the seat to her shoulder. His palm slid under her curls to the nape of her neck, stroking feather-like caresses against her bare skin. Every nerve ending jumped to life. Twin headlights lit up the narrow street as a car pulled into the lane, going slow. The lights illuminated the asphalt and brick, but failed to enter the tiny garage. Her heart was already pounding, but now it accelerated even more. Are you just trying to distract me? Is someone following us? She edged closer to him, almost right on the middle console, not realizing until it was too late that she was playing right into his hands. The car went on by, and she felt a little foolish. His hand applied pressure, so that her head continued to bend toward his. Then his mouth was on hers, and she forgot all about the fact that they were in a stranger's garage, hiding from someone possibly hunting them. Fire swept through her, and she found herself wrapping her arms around his neck and giving herself up to the exquisite perfection of his mouth, his kiss. She'd been kissed before, but this was completely different. This was extraordinary. Her mind couldn't hold a single thought, but just melted right along with her body. He tasted like male, a spice she quickly found herself addicted to, one she chased, needing more. The kiss went on and on, until she needed air, and then he breathed for her, even as those flames he poured into her threatened to burn her alive. Her body was no longer her own, but belonged to him. Had he tried, he could have taken her right there, on the seat in some stranger's garage. It was Giovanni in control, lifting his head, resting his forehead against hers, breathing a ragged rhythm she tried to follow. This is dangerous. His velvet whisper slid over her skin, stroked and caressed, adding to the terrible need, her body pulsing with demands. She touched her tongue to her lips, shocked that they weren't on fire. It is. There was nothing else to do but agree. She couldn't kiss him again. That would lead to... She did. She tilted her head just enough to allow her to catch his bottom lip between her teeth and tug. Then she was kissing him, her tongue sweeping into his mouth, sliding along his tongue, taking more of that spice and flame she needed. His arm nearly crushed her to him, while his other hand slid under her shirt to press against her bare skin. It felt as if his palm burned into her, right through skin and muscle to reach bone. So it was there, his brand proclaiming proprietary rights. She was his exclusively. His mouth took over, just what she wanted, what she needed. The groan he gave, a mixture of hunger and dominance, sent her temperature soaring. Her panties were damp, her body slick, her nipples tight, breasts aching. She was very aware of his hand. Not even his scorching kisses could distract her from wanting him to move it higher. The long fingers stroked her bare skin, right under her left breast as he kissed her over and over. He pushed his seat back and pulled her body across the console, so that she nearly straddled him. It was a tight fit, but they managed because there was nothing but the two of them, and heat and hunger. It took forever before his fingers moved up over the fine lace of her bra and stroked along the curve. Her breath caught in her throat, and her sex clenched hard. She squirmed, her hips pressing into him, the apex of her legs finding his thigh. The tension in her coiled tighter and tighter. Her breasts felt swollen and needy, nipples pushing blatantly at the thin lace. Then his fingers settled on her nipple, and she heard herself cry out. The sound wrenched from her. He tugged, and her hips bucked. He was more than dangerous to her. That was her one thought of sanity before that slipped away, too. And she dropped her hand, stroking him through his trousers, reveling in the feel of him, so hard and hot, so thick and ready for her. She desperately wanted to open his trousers and explore that heat, but moving required she move her mouth from his, and that was impossible. His tongue was velvet, his mouth hotter than anything she'd ever known, hot, hard, commanding. She sank further under his sexual spell, the web closing around her, and she let it. She wanted it. "All clear, Giovanni," a male's voice came over the radio, shocking her. She tried to pull back, but Giovanni continued to kiss her, one hand shaping the nape of her neck, holding her head tilted to his while his other hand explored the full curve of her breasts, the valley between, each nipple, tugging and rolling while she gasped at the streaks of jagged lightning streaking through her bloodstream to pool low in her body. Her sex clenched and throbbed. She curled her palm over his heavy erection while she rode his thigh, desperate for release. "Get out of there, man. Harvey is heading your way." Giovanni sighed into her mouth. He lifted his head as his fingers stroked her breast slowly, one last time. "Baby, we've got to stop. The owner of the garage is on his way, and we don't want to be caught here." She tried to move, but her body felt limp, hot and needy. She closed her eyes, desperate to find air, while her sex wept with hunger. Very, very gently, he lifted her off of him and placed her back into her seat. Leaning around her, he caught her seatbelt and snapped it back in place. She hadn't known he'd taken it off her in the first place. Or maybe she had. She couldn't think clearly. Her mind, absolute chaos. All she could think about was reaching into his lap, taking down his zipper and straddling him. "Baby, help me out." It was said with a husky groan. Sexy. Almost as desperate for her as she felt for him. Almost. But he'd already adjusted his seat and was pulling the car out of the garage, able to function, while she was still having a full-body meltdown. "I'm just sitting here." To emphasize how good she was being, or to keep herself from unzipping his trousers, she threaded her fingers together and locked them that way until her knuckles turned white. "You're looking at me like you want to devour me." "I do." She wasn't going to lie. If he wanted a demure, sweet woman, he had the wrong girl. She grew up on a ranch. She knew about sex, need, hunger. Right now, he'd taken her higher than she ever dreamed a body could go. She wanted all the way with him. She looked up at his face, all those sensual lines carved so deeply. He looked like sex and sin incarnate. She touched her tongue to her lower lip. "I want to see what you look like. Feel the weight of you in my palm. I want to taste you. Kissing you, I wondered if your cock would taste as good as your mouth." She watched in fascination as his erection grew even larger, and he had to shift his body just a little as he drove down the little alley to the corner where he waited for a car to flash lights before turning onto the street. "You're making me crazy on purpose." "Maybe. You made me that way and then just left me hanging, so turnabout is fair play." She sent him a small smile. He'd certainly made her forget about the fact that her home had been invaded and she didn't want to go there. "You know I'm going to retaliate." "You would have anyway, and this way I get to have a little fun." Deliberately, she leaned toward his lap, as if she might actually carry out her threat. "It's all I can do just to keep from unzipping you and swallowing you down." His cock jerked beneath his trousers, and she couldn't help the satisfied smile. She reached over and stroked her fingers over the hard length. She felt the heat right through the material, and her sex clenched again. "Not in the city, though. You couldn't keep us on the road." "Is that a challenge?" She loved the intensity of his hunger. His voice had dropped to a growl, the sound sending a little shiver down her spine. She liked being in control. When he was kissing her, she was out of control. Here, she skated that edge. She'd never done anything so daring as she was contemplating. A little wicked voice kept whispering to her, urging her on. "Maybe." "You're playing with fire. We're on a very public street. Sooner or later you have to get back on the main street with all the streetlights. Stop signs. It isn't like you could keep the car under control. And if I'm willing to accept the challenge, I'd be in trouble if you lost control. We both would be." He turned his head to look at her. Her entire body went into meltdown again. The tension coiled so tightly in her jerked at her sex, just from the look on his face. She'd never seen anything or anyone look so darkly sensual, so completely wicked, so beautifully masculine. She couldn't help herself. She caught at his zipper and slowly, watching his face the entire time, slid it down. A muscle ticked in his jaw. His breath caught. Another groan escaped. "Baby, you had better stop playing around." She didn't want to play any more. She wanted her mouth on him. Some part of her knew she was being crazy. She barely knew him, but he made her that way. She'd never met anyone with such animalistic sexuality. Everything about him called to her. She wet her lips again, tugged at her seatbelt to give herself room, realized it wasn't going to work, and undid it. She was a rule follower, and that gave her a thrill. She never did anything like this, and right now, having him in her mouth was all she could think of. She pushed down his underwear, shorts made of the same material as his suit. His cock sprang free, and her breath caught in her throat. He was beautiful, a little intimidating. She wasn't certain how much of him she could take, but she wanted to try. She wanted to claim every delicious inch of him. She didn't think about anything else but the way her body was on fire and the fact that he wanted her so much. She didn't care where they were, only that she wanted to keep feeling the way she was. It didn't allow for anything else to slip in and freak her out. She couldn't take much more going wrong. For just these next few minutes, her mind and body would be solely occupied with hot, perfect sex. Sasha licked up his shaft, wanting to feel him, get to know his cock intimately. She liked how hot he was, how heavy he felt. His heartbeat throbbed through the long vein. His girth was a little intimidating, but it was part of the challenge. She tasted the pearly drops leaking and thought of his taste as an aphrodisiac, a little salty, but mostly the same addicting spice as his skin when she licked at it. She used one hand to stabilize herself in the moving car. The other fisted him at the base, and she licked around him, getting him wet, very wet. Very slowly, she began to take him into her mouth, sucking on the velvet head, her tongue running under the crown, flicking and teasing that sweet little spot that made his body shudder. She smiled, knowing she was getting to him in spite of his steady driving. Giovanni wanted to pull over and savor the feel of her hot, moist mouth surrounding him like a tight fist, so scorching hot. She sucked at him hard, then released him and changed the tempo. She was humming, a soft little tune that was muffled by the hard cock in her mouth, but that melody vibrated through him, sending shockwaves to his groin. He'd never felt anything like it in his life. He couldn't help but drop one hand to her head, holding her there, not wanting it to stop, even when they came to a red light and anyone might see into the car. He didn't want her aware of where they were in the city. He wanted her mouth on him, sucking hard, running up and down his shaft, taking him deep, so deep he touched her throat, and then she was swirling her tongue around his shaft and teasing the underside of the crown as she came up for air. Every movement sent hot pleasure swamping his body in waves. She obviously enjoyed what she was doing, moving on him, her fingers dancing over his balls, rolling gently, squeezing, sliding back up to fist his cock, all the while her mouth sliding or sucking, or her tongue fluttering and dancing. She never stopped, and there was no way to get his balance or maintain his control, not when he had to keep part of his mind on driving. He was extremely disciplined. He'd been taught at an early age to be disciplined. She was sucking that out of him every time she took him deep. It took everything in him not to force her head down on him, so that she swallowed him whole. There was a strange roaring in his head. Thunder crashed in his ears. His body tightened. He hadn't lasted long at all. His balls drew tight, his seed boiling hot, ready to erupt. He knew he had to warn her he wasn't going to be able to stop. He had to make it to the next stoplight before he did. He couldn't let her release burst so ferociously out of him while driving in traffic. He tried to tap her head, even as he wrapped her hair around his fist and held her down. He thought he heard her laugh, but it came out muffled, and the vibrations sent shockwaves through his shaft. The next light was green, and he let her breathe. "Baby, I'm going to blow." He managed to get the words out. Even as he said them, his hand was already applying a little pressure, desperate to feel her mouth again. She licked at the crown and then swallowed him down. This time, the squeezing around his shaft was tremendous, almost a vice. He felt his cock pulse, jerk. The light went yellow, and he slowed the vehicle, wanting to roar his happiness at something that ordinarily would have annoyed him. The moment the car halted, he closed his eyes because his vision was blurred, colors bursting behind his eyes. He savored the way the pleasure seemed to sweep up his legs, swirl in his balls, rocketing through his shaft until his cock jerked and pulsed, blasting hot seed right down her throat. It was ecstasy. In a fucking car. Ecstasy. He couldn't breathe, it was so good. He didn't realize at first that he had thrown his head back and shouted to the night, roaring right along with his cock. His hand was fisted in her hair, holding her there while she drank him down. It took effort to force his fingers to let go of the handful of hair. When he did, she came up for air and then began to lick at him, cleaning him off to ensure no drop touched his clothes. When he could think, he glanced around and saw the truck next to him, the driver staring down at the back of Sasha's head in his lap. He shielded her with one hand, making certain she didn't sit up, so the driver couldn't see her face. In that moment, he knew for certain that Sasha was the one for him. He would never have cared about a man seeing what a woman did or didn't do. That was up to her, not him. "Baby, don't move until the car is going," he cautioned when he felt her start to sit up. She used the time to cover his cock with his shorts and then zip up his trousers. The light changed, and they sped off. Sasha sat up slowly, reaching for her seatbelt. "Dio, Sasha, that was insane. Perfection. I've never felt quite like that." "Good?" She sent him a grin. "I like the way you taste." "That's a good thing, because instead of an alarm waking me in the mornings, when we're living together, I'll be hoping that's how you'll wake me." She laughed and pulled down the mirror above the window so she could inspect her lips. The tip of her tongue touched the corner, and then her finger did. "You're big. I can't take all of you." "You didn't have to." He reached over and took her hand. "Are you damp for me? Slick? Hot?" She nodded. "Very much so. I hate that I can't do anything about it right now, but you could. We're about 7 minutes out. I could make a circle if you need more time." He couldn't keep the excitement out of his voice. "Undo your jeans, baby. Just push them down enough to give yourself room." She glanced out the window. He had turned off the main road to use one of the less traveled streets. It was a little darker and only two lanes, so no one could be next to them. "If I do, it's going to make you hot all over again. We could be at this all night." "I'm good with that. I want you taken care of. In fact, baby, push your jeans down a little more and turn your body toward me. Put one foot up on the seat and let your knees fall open." The idea made him hard all over again. He wanted to see her. He liked her like this, a little wanton, unashamed of her sexuality, willing to be adventurous. He wanted to eat her up. He didn't have the luxury of doing that when he was driving, but he could get a little taste. "You can't possibly. I want to devour you, eat you alive, but I'll do the next best thing." He grinned at her, holding up his hand. He had big hands and his fingers were thick. "First you. I want to see you. Show me how you pleasure yourself." "I have this toy." Her voice was wicked. He groaned. "We're putting that on the list. From now on, we're carrying a toy in our cars. Maybe several of them. In fact, I think we need to go to an adult store on the way home." "We have a list?" She slowly slid her zipper down and then began to push her jeans and panties over her skin, leaving her hips bare. Her tight little curls were platinum blonde, like her hair. She pushed the jeans down farther, baring her thighs, giving her enough room to draw one knee up so she could plant her foot on the seat. He found it was much more difficult to drive with her body open to him than it had been when her mouth was around his cock. Well, it was a toss-up. She let her knees fall open as she took her finger and thumb, slowly circling the tiny little hooded bud, and then pushing a finger deep. His mouth watered. He swore under his breath, and she smiled. It was pure seduction. "You're a holy terror, Sasha," he accused. "And we definitely have a list." She licked at her finger, her eyes on his face. His cock jerked hard in his trousers. He hadn't expected the temptress, but he should have. She had fire in her, passion. She might hide it, but it still smoldered just beneath the surface. He liked to play.